This is VOA News. I'm Michael Brown. President Trump launched his re-election campaign Tuesday night in Orlando, Florida, one of the swing states that fueled his poll-defying victory in 2016. The president promoted issues like border security and trade tariffs and chastised the media and the Democrats for spotlighting the Russian investigation.
For the last 2.5 years, we have been under siege. And with the Mueller report, we won. And now they want a do-over. They want a do-over. Let's do it again. Didn't work out too well. Let's do it again.
Trump told supporters in Florida they are part of a movement where people believe that a nation must care for its own citizens first. Trump won Florida by a margin of 1 percentage point in 2016, and his reelection launch specifically targets Central Florida, where about half of the state's registered voters live, is largely independent. Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, is apologizing for the political crisis and unrest sparked by a controversial extradition bill. The bill would have allowed extradition to mainland China. Lam says work on the bill was over until it expires in July next year, and she pledged to stay and finish the remainder of her term. Members of the civil human rights group and Hong Kong say they're angry that Lam is refusing to step down.
After millions of Hong Kong people continue to join the rally, protests, nearly 100 of them have been sent to hospital, some of them have been arrested, and we are not sure when will they face certain prosecution.
Opposition of the bill has driven repeated mass protests in Hong Kong this month alone. For details on more news, we invite you to join us at our website. That is voanews.com or the VOA mobile app. From here in Washington, this is VOA News. Top U.S. military and diplomatic officials warned they had no intention of easing their maximum pressure campaign against Iran, even as evidence suggests the regime in Tehran is lashing out in increasingly dangerous ways. But despite the rapid rising tensions in the Middle East, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told reporters Tuesday the U.S. is not looking to start a war with Iran, though much will depend on what Tehran does next.
The responsibility for diplomacy achieving the strategic outcomes that President Trump has sent forth falls on all of us, but the State Department has the first oar in the water on that. But we can't do that without making sure that we have the capability to respond if Iran makes a bad decision.
Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer says the Trump administration's policy toward Iran is not consistent.
I don't know what their strategy is, and it doesn't seem consistent. It seems when the president wakes up one morning, he says something, and then 2 days later he says something else. One day he says he's going to obliterate them, and the next day he says he wants to talk to them.
Concern about a potential confrontation between the United States and Iran has been growing since U.S. officials last week accused Iran of being responsible for mine attacks on 2 oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has denied any involvement on the attacks against the oil tankers, but announced Monday it would cease complying with the global agreement that prevents it from making nuclear weapons. In response, the U.S. announced it will deploy another 1,000 troops to help protect U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria that are currently helping in the effort to wipe out remnants of the Islamic State terror group. The Taliban says the United States has promised during negotiations to withdraw all troops from Afghanistan. The announcement comes as a crucial round of peace talks between the two adversaries in the 17-year-old Afghan war is expected to take place in Qatar in the next few days. There was no immediate U.S. reaction to the insurgent assertions. The nearly year-long U.S.-Taliban dialogue process has been under fire and skepticism for not making any headway toward ending the conflict. On the eve of the World Refugee Day, the U.N. Refugee Agency reports nearly 71 million, that is, around the world are now forcibly displaced by war, persecution, and conflict, the highest level in decades. The agency says more than two-thirds of all refugees worldwide come from just 5 countries, Syria, Afghanistan, South Sudan, Myanmar, and Somalia. UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, says statistics show that wealthy countries do not shoulder the greatest refugee burden. Grandi also told VOA new conflicts producing new refugees are rising faster than solutions can be found for people who are displaced. I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Mbate in Washington. Today is Wednesday, June 19th. And here are some of the stories we are covering. The Anglophone General Conference says it will support President Paul Biya's efforts towards dialogue.
From the beginning of this crisis, we have always thought that the only solution to the current crisis is through dialogue and not through arms, because nowhere in the world has weapons ever solved a problem.
Ellis Smith is chairperson of the organizing committee of the Anglophone General Conference, but the Cameroon separatists say President Paul Biya must negotiate directly with them. Togo's opposition gears up for June 30th parliamentary election. Zimbabwe's government pays $1 million to U.S. lobbyists, and a Liberian member of parliament is on the run following a court order to arrest him.
I can't remember this really happening anywhere. It has only happened for me because I am critical on the issues that are going wrong in the country. I am going to remain critical. Nothing is going to bog me down.
Yaka Koloba is a member of the Liberian House of Representatives, and WHO launches a new tool to combat antimicrobial resistance. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The conveners of Cameroon's Anglophone General Conference say they will support President Paul Biya's efforts towards dialogue aimed at ending the three-year-old armed conflict in the country's English-speaking regions. The conference is being supported by Cameroon's three main religious bodies, Islam, Roman Catholic, and Presbyterian churches. Ellis Smith is chairperson of the organizing committee of the Anglophone General Conference. He says the decision to back President Paul Biya's dialogue effort was reached at a meeting held Tuesday in Douala and chaired by Cardinal Christian Toumi. He says the conference has always been believed that the only solution to the armed conflict is dialogue.
It was just to carry a kind of overview of the current political situation in the country and the role and the contribution that the religious leaders of the Anglophone General Conference have to put in contributing in bringing peace and stability back in the troubled northwest and south of the region of Cameroon.
You said that the conference decided that you are going to support the government's effort for dialogue. What dialogue are you talking about and with whom?
Well, from the beginning of this crisis, that's about 3 years ago, we have always thought that the only solution to the current crisis is through dialogue and not through arms, because nowhere in the world has weapons ever solved a problem. And now that at a long last, the government has kind of discovered that it is important to dialogue, we think that the expertise that we have, the network that we have on the ground, the knowledge that our religious leaders, Muslims and Christians have, can be put into contribution to help the government to dialogue. I understand the question asking dialogue with whom. From the onset, we have always made it abundantly clear that the government needs to dialogue with those who are separatists, generically referred to as Amber Boys, because you cannot have a solution to this problem if we don't talk to them. And on the other hand, the problem cannot be solved in isolation, just like a regional problem. It's a national problem. So we think that we want the people of the Northwest and Southwest regions to tell us what are the causes of the current crisis, what are the solutions. We take those propositions they have given and we give it to the head of state, and it will serve like a fulcrum for whatever national dialogue he wants to organize when or where he wants to do that.
Do the people you call the Amber Boys, also on Ambazonia, do they accept the Anglophone General Conference as the mediator?
No, there's a point of correction and we have to make it abundantly clear. We are not mediators. We are just contributors. We think that a mediation is a far more complicated role that is not on us. The only thing we are doing is this. We think that most often than not, people almost always think that people who are in the diaspora should be the ones dictating or leading. But we also think that while the people of the diaspora are doing a formidable job, we cannot say that it's all negative. We think that the people who are really at the forefront, who are really the victims of what is happening, should have a role to play. Then what role can they play is that they should be able to tell us what are their problems, because what an ordinary woman or a man in Bamenda or in Victoria feels is not the same feeling that somebody who is in Washington, D.C. or in Stockholm is feeling, even though he is connected to the reality.
So do you think the government of President Paul Biya is very serious about a dialogue?
We want to think that they are. Why am I saying this? I think on the 12th or on the 19th of this month, the Prime Minister was in the Northwest. And for the first time in almost 3 years, when the conflict became weaponized, he realized and declared that it is important to dialogue, which means that they are realizing it already. Now, the problem you need to understand to get discharge is that they have been ruling this country for 40 years. They have never been challenged the way they are being challenged right now. So they don't know how to deal with this type of crisis. They are ruining their trade, and they will understand that if you really want dialogue, it's a good thing. You don't just need to say dialogue. You need to actualize it. You need to be able to have a focal point rather than a jumble of interlocutors with competing or varying propositions.
Ellis Smith is chairperson of the organizing committee of the Anglophone General Conference. You're speaking with me from Douala. A spokesman for Cameroon's self-proclaimed Ambazonia Republic says the group wants direct negotiations between what he calls French Cameroon and the self-proclaimed Republic of Ambazonia. Chris Anu says such negotiations must be facilitated by the United Nations or the European Union. This comes after the conveners of Cameroon's Anglophone General Conference say they will support President Paul Biya's effort towards dialogue aimed at ending the three-year-old conflict in the country. Chris Anu says President Paul Biya must initiate such dialogue.
The statement that the Anglophone Conference will support government effort towards dialogue doesn't fly with this interim government. We have made it very, very clear in the past that any form of conference anywhere in Ambazonia or the southern Cameroons to decide on the fate of 8 million Ambazonians without members of this interim government involved is dead on arrival, and we will not, again, we will not have it happen. What French Cameroon is trying to do right now is trying to get these French groups on the ground to agree to some form of meeting so they can then turn around and tell the international community that they are talking with Anglophones, with Southern Cameroonians. Who are the Southern Cameroonians? There are only two blocks in this conflict. Ambazonians representing us in this interim government and French Cameroon. If French Cameroon does not reach out to Ambazonians, the interim government in the diaspora, for any form of negotiation, they should forget about an end to this war.
But Chris, the Anglophone Conference, they admit they are not mediators. They are just contributing to the process towards dialogue. And they said that the diaspora will also be given their say.
If they want the diaspora to have their say, then they should hold a conference where diaspora can participate in the conference. To go and hold a meeting anywhere in Ambazonia where they know for security reasons the diaspora cannot attend, it's out of place. We will not allow it to happen.
You said if there is any dialogue is to take place must be between French Cameroon, meaning the Cameroon government, and Ambazonia. Who should initiate this dialogue?
French Cameroon should initiate the dialogue. We have indicated time and again we are prepared at any moment, at any time, for that dialogue, or we call it negotiation. We are not in the position to do that because we did not start the war. And if French Cameroon is negotiating any dialogue, what they have to do is do two things. First, pull your troops out of our territory. Number two, release our detained leaders who are in Condengue. Once they do those two things, we will take them very seriously for any initiation of dialogue. Without that, we cannot get involved with them for any dialogue.
Chris, thank you very much again. It's always nice to speak with you.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Chris Anu is the Secretary of State for Communication of the self-proclaimed Amazonian Separatist Movement of Cameroon. He was speaking with me from the U.S. city of Houston in Texas. Today is Wednesday, June 19th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Daybreak Africa time, 15 minutes past the hour. The government of Zimbabwe currently has spent more than $1 million as payment to two American lobbying firms, while at the same time, Zimbabweans are suffering under a near 100% inflation rate. Jeffrey Smith, founding director of Vanguard Africa, spoke to Ricky Stryak about the issues facing the country.
The first that came to light was with Ballard Partners, which was founded by Brian Ballard, a top fundraiser for now President Donald Trump in his presidential campaign. The main lobbyist, interestingly, on that contract is James Rubin, a former State Department official in the Clinton administration and more commonly known as being married to Christiane Amanpour. That contract is worth $500,000 per year, so a very significant amount of money, with the intention of, according to the contract, communicating with U.S. government officials, business entities, and NGO audiences. The second contract, which has now come to light, which I believe was filed in April of 2019, is with Avenue Strategies, founded by Barry Bennett and Corey Lewandowski, who many U.S. audiences might be familiar with as Donald Trump's campaign manager for some time. He stepped away from the firm, I believe, in 2017. So that contract is worth, again, per the contract, filed with Justice Department at $90,000 per month, with $270,000 paid upfront for the first 3 months. So in total, Avenue Strategies contract is worth $1.1 million. The Ballard Partners contract is worth $500,000. So in total, $1.6 million for a desperately poor country spending on lobbying in Washington, D.C.
What does it say about the priorities of the Zimbabwean government, given the extreme financial crisis that the country is in right now?
The lobby contracts signed by the Zimbabwean government with firms in Washington, D.C., really is a further indication of the misplaced priorities of the Mnangagwa government, really a carryover from the Mugabe era. The day in which the contract, the second contract with Avenue Strategies came to light, we learned that Zimbabwe's year-on-year inflation actually reached nearly 100% this year, 97.85% to be exact, which is an increase from years prior. The second important point is that Zimbabwe's poverty rate is also rising. 72% actually currently live below the poverty line, which is one of the highest rates, not only in the region, but in the entire world today. Right now, as we're talking, approximately 2.5 million people in rural Zimbabwe, so approximately one third of the rural population, will be severely food insecure this summer.
What is the role of the international community, and more specifically the United States, to critique or to openly condemn these kind of relationships?
You know, again, the primary role should be those of Zimbabwean citizens, but it's up to us in the international community, for lack of a better word, and those of us in pro-democracy organizations that work in the region, to help amplify those voices, to help give them a platform to thought leaders and influencers here in Washington, D.C.
Of Jeffrey Smith, founding director from Vanguard Africa. He was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Washington, D.C. In Liberia, a member of the House of Representatives and a critic of President George Weah is in hiding after a judge issued a writ for his arrest. The writ charges Representative Yeka Koluba and four others with aggravated assault, attempt to commit murder, and kidnapping. But Representative Koluba says he's being singled out for being vocal on important national issues that he was elected to advocate on behalf of the Liberian people. He says, unlike the government, he will respect the court process if the court follows the right procedures.
There are three separate branches of government. So if the judiciary will want somebody from the legislature, I think they will have to write the house to let me know, and I will go there. I'm not going to be defiant to the law. We will not follow the path of the president that have disrespected all the constitution, disrespected the law, and have violated all the provisions of the constitution. We are not going to do that. We are going to respect the court, but we want the process to be followed.
Very interesting, because you are a member of parliament. Tell me, is there any example of such thing like this for a member of parliament to be sought out here for unrest?
I can't remember this incident happening anywhere. It has only happened to me because I am critical on the issues that are going wrong in the country. I am going to remain critical. Nothing is going to bog me down because I was elected to talk for my people. I'm going to do so. So the government has decided to do this as a way for me to be silent. But we have not seen it anywhere before. There have been on so many occasions where the government will send armed men to my house, putting fear in my family as I speak to in my family and at home. They are now home because we are living in fear. My home can be barricaded at any time. That has been done on four different occasions where I would see the 100 to 150 armed men that would just come to surround my house for no reason.
You talk about people being selective or the system being selective. What do you mean?
For example, according to the police, my security, my bodyguards were not on duty. They were off duty and went home. It was involved into a fierce fight with somebody. And the people came and barricaded my house. They said, I gave instruction. And I was nowhere around. Then Honorable Akaraj Gray was involved with some situation on the 9th Street where he was present. And somebody was brutalized. And the guy said, Akaraj Gray gave the instruction. And the police said, Akaraj Gray did not give the instruction. He was dead or he did not give the instruction. Akaraj Gray was never sinful. I cannot go home and never barricaded because he is a part of the ruling establishment. I said, I was sleeping. I don't know about anything. But the police said, because it is my security, so I should be charged in all the counts. I would then fought against our will. My family have been threatened by this government. We hope and pray that the international community come in because the country is going back.
Honorable Kaluba, so as we speak right now, you are not in your house.
I am not. We are going from place to place because we have been threatened. The government have not come to our aid. This is the first time in the history for a lawmaker to be threatened and nothing is coming out of it. And then the government is not taking any stand. They are behaving like I am not a part of this government because I work in the legislature, you know what I'm saying, as a representative. And we have been covered. The constitution gave us the protection. But I want to say to the international community, there is no constitution in the country anymore. All have been violated. All have been disrespected. My family do not sleep home anymore. They sleep from place to place. Do we have respect anymore for the rule of law? I say no. There's no respect for the rule of law.
Honorable Kaluba, thank you very much. We are so happy to speak with you.
Thank you. To close up, I want to call on the international community, ECOWAS, UN, EU, the American government, and other government around the world to please allow the war crimes to come in our country. Because we all the war code in our country, the country is going nowhere. We need to give account of everything that we did to the people of this country. We are appealing to them. Please come to our aid. Please bring the war code so we can go there to exonerate ourselves so this country can move forward.
Yeka Koloba is a member of the Liberian House of Representatives. He was speaking with me from somewhere in the capital, Monrovia. Campaign is ongoing for Togo's June 30th parliamentary elections. Unlike last year, when the opposition boycotted the election, this time around, the opposition is competing in the election. Bridget Ajamabo-Johnson is coordinator of Togo's 14-party coalition.
You know, when we organized to go together to the election, we started to campaign. We are very happy to be able to vote and to change them. But what I can say is that we fear that this election will not be well organized, but we are committed to go to the election and to fight for the change.
Why do you fear that the elections might not be well organized?
You know, we should have a specimen to show people how they will proceed to vote. So another example I can give you is that it's only yesterday that the government decided to give, you know, an amount of money. It's something that should be done earlier, but we are very committed to win those elections.
Bridget Ajamabo-Johnson is coordinator of Togo's 14-party opposition coalition. The World Health Organization is launching a new tool to reduce the spread of antimicrobial resistance. The WHO says the global campaign is aimed at making decisions and policymakers aware of the appropriate and effective use of antibiotics for specific infections. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva at the launch of the WHO so-called AWARE campaign.
Antimicrobial resistance is growing because of the widespread abuse and misuse of antibiotics. The World Health Organization considers antimicrobial resistance one of the most urgent health risks in the world. It warns a century of medical progress will be undone without accelerated action to contain rising resistance by making antibiotic use safer and more effective. WHO Assistant Director General for Access to Medicines, Mariangela Simao, says pneumonia kills many children in developing countries because they do not get appropriate medication.
More than almost 1 million deaths in developing countries is due to treatable bacterial diseases, which can, in most cases, be linked to the lack of access to antibiotics or to wrong diagnostics or to wrong prescription. So we, by launching this tool, WHO aims at narrowing the gap between excess use and access.
The tool developed by the WHO is based on the WHO Essential Medicines List. The list specifies which antibiotics to use for the most common and serious infections and those which should be available at all times in the healthcare system. WHO Assistant Director General for Antimicrobial Resistance, Hanan Balki, says the essential medicines list also indicates those antibiotics that must be used sparingly and as a last resort.
We expect that the list will actually be a legitimate reference for healthcare providers who would like to understand the better ways of prescribing antibiotics, and that following these guidelines will actually help them in having a system of how they would prescribe antibiotics and have it based on a legitimate resource, which is the WHO.
The World Health Organization notes no significant investments are being made in the development of new antibiotics. Therefore, it says improving the use of existing antibiotics is critical to curb the further spread of antimicrobial resistance. It says the new guidelines will help prescribers and health workers select the right antibiotic for the right infection, thereby protecting endangered antibiotics. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. The conveners of Cameroon's Anglophone General Conference say they will support President Paul Biya's efforts towards dialogue aimed at ending the three-year-old armed conflict in the country's English-speaking regions. The conference is being supported by Cameroon's three main religious bodies, Islam, Roman Catholic, and the Presbyterian churches. The decision to back President Paul Biya's dialogue effort was reached at a meeting held Tuesday in Douala and chaired by Cardinal Christian Toumi. A spokesman for Cameroon's self-proclaimed Ambazonia Republic says the group wants direct negotiations between what he calls French Cameroon and the self-proclaimed Republic of Ambazonia. Chris Anu says such dialogue must be facilitated by either the United States, or the European Union. That's it for this Wednesday, June 19th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Botti in Washington, wishing you in Africa a very, very good day.
African music hits.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African music mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.